Once again, welcome. Please feel free to be relaxed. I don't like feeling official in church where you have to sit upright and you have to properly be dressed and look a certain way. The house of the Father is a place of love where you feel beloved, where you don't have to pretend to be somebody or to impress somebody with your knowledge or your spirituality. You know, church has transformed and flipped everything upside down. But you are in the house of the Father. Feel beloved. You are loved here. You are welcomed here. You are accepted just the way that you are, where you don't have to prove anything to anyone. You don't have to compete with anyone. Just turn to your neighbor and say, it's a privilege for me to sit next to a champion. Next to you sitting is a champion. You don't know what is inside of this person that's sitting next to you. And we will be surprised to see as that will flow through them. Welcome all of you who are watching us online, and we love you and we feel you with us, and your testimonies are not stopping to come, and it is motivates us even more to pray and to move forward and go through things that we go through. Amen. That is why today I want to talk to you. I don't want this to be called officially a sermon. This is going to be more of a testimony. This is going to be my testimony of my conversation with God. When I have certain questions about some topic, how God answers to me is He takes me to the Word. And in the Word, He shows me these gems, piece by piece, we collect, I collect it, and I receive my answer, and I get my answer from that. And one of those conversations, I asked a question to God, and from that, this topic was born, and it's called Born Out of Fire. Exactly. Not born out of, but born, talking about the church. This is a very personal topic to me. Every time I prepare these topics, and all of my topics always are rooted back to this in some way, and I can't avoid it. Because God once showed me a vision. He showed me a real bride, a real church, and how she's supposed to be. And after that, I can't think about anything else. I can't talk about anything else or pray about anything else other than, God, please rise up your church and raise up the people who are going to carry your fire and your glory. Because for this moment right now, unfortunately, it's only a few people we can count on our fingers, people who in reality walk in the fire of God. And that's why I started asking this question, God, what does this mean to be baptized in fire? Remember in Luke 3:16, when Jesus came to Ian, to John, and remember John said, Jesus, before Jesus came to him, he was just baptizing fire. He said, I will baptize you in water, but after me comes the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you remember him saying that? When he was looking, he saw his feet. And noticing when there is next to the word Holy Spirit, there is always the word fire. And I always thought about, okay, God, okay, we took the water baptism. We understand what that is, to fully commit ourselves to you and to turn to a new God. Baptized in the Holy Spirit means we can speak in tongues and the strength. But why is it we always miss this piece of being baptized with fire? And I ask this question, look, we live in America, right? And if we look on every corner, we see some kind of a church or a prayer house somewhere. We drive down the street, and minimum you can see three or five some churches or any kind of church. And I started asking the question, Lord, why? Almost every street has a church. Why is it? Why is it that there's so much sin? Why is there prayer that gets taken out of schools? Why is it you can't watch some kind of a show or a movie without something dirty being in there? Why is it more and more the churches are opening and there is more dirt and sin in the world? And I started looking at our Slavic population. It's not a secret that from Ukraine and Russia and Soviet Union, Christian people come here. They're called refugees. They're escaping from their government here. And I say, God, 90% of immigrants are Christian that come here. Then why is it from the Slavic population we have the most divorces, double lives, and crimes? And so many gang violence. I'm sure you all know this. We can read in the newspaper, if there is some kind of crime, it's always some Russian. And I'm thinking that they're all Christian people. Why is it so much crime? America is a Christian country, but there is no glory and there is no strength. The devil can do whatever he wants. The darkness increases. You're scared to let your children go to school because some ridiculous things going on in those schools. But at the same time, there's so many churches around. Everybody's a Christian. And I started asking these questions, and God took me into the Word and giving me answers. When we receive a baptism, we receive it from the Holy Spirit. And most of the Christians, we receive salvation, we turn away from our old sins and our old ways. But the next category is those who receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, meaning speaking in tongues, and that's where it all ends. We will become saved and we can speak in tongues, and we now become content and we go to churches, and that's where it all ends. And that small piece where being baptized in fire, where Jesus promised, why is it that the church doesn't walk in this? Why are things not happening that happened with apostles, where witchcraft was being stopped, and what the apostles did, just read the Bible and ask, why is this not happening in our lives now, even though we have so many Christians and everybody wants something and dreams of something, but nobody's doing it? And I started thinking, something, church is missing something, part, some element, where in our presence we have this so much dirt going on and so much darkness. And I started asking, God, explain to me, what does it mean to be baptized in fire? And before, when I asked for being baptized in fire, when I was thinking about it, and God told me, what you already asked for means that you already don't agree with being just a Christian. Just to be, you want something more, basically. When you want to be baptized in fire, meaning you are his bride, means that you want to see more than what you have already. Because being baptized in fire will cost you everything. Before, I started thinking, okay, God, I want this. Please baptize me in fire. And I started watching all of the shows, starting going to all of the conferences, and, you know, I experienced Holy Spirit through my hands, and my feet were on fire, and I realized when I stood up and went back to my home, I didn't see a big change in my life. I was part of this church. It's a pretty, it's a moving church. But at the same time, I came back to my home and I read the Bible. And nothing in my life, not even 10% of what the Bible describes, happened in my life. And I was asking, God, explain to me, what does this mean to be baptized in fire? I want to receive it and I want to understand it. And God took me into the Bible and showing me specific people people who had this encounter with fire, encounter face to face with God, specifically in fire, where they could, after leaving that, they could no longer stay the same. I understand that being baptized in fire is not something that can be passed on or prayed over. It's something you have to receive from heaven on your own. And it doesn't happen in 1 minute or in an hour or even a week. It's a process of your life, a certain process of your life to go through this baptism of fire. First person that God showed me, but before we go there, I started looking through the Bible, and I started studying it and finding things, and trying to look for words where fire was mentioned, where it talked about it. So the first one where we see this is in Old Testament. A couple times this happened. First, it was proving the existence of God or presence of God. God walked with people. Do you remember when he was in the day and in the night, when he was a torch of fire? He was just there walking with the Israelites. When the fire moved, they moved after him. If it needed to happen in the dark, means that God in the form of fire was with them. Without this fire, they couldn't move anywhere. Second was Exodus 19:18.
Там написано, и гора Синай была вся окутана дымом, ибо Господь, как огонь, сошел на
нее. Mount Saint was covered with smoke because the Lord came down on it with fire. The smoke rose and mountain like a smoke in the furnace, and the whole mountain shook wildly. Can you imagine how this happened? The whole mountain is shaking because God's fire is upon it. Can you imagine what would happen to our states if people physically saw this proof? And I said, God, why do we not have this? You read it, people in the Old Testament, why did they have it, and why do we not? Why can't God right now do the same thing and show himself like this? God came in form of fire. In other cases, fire was, it came upon a sacrifice. Remember Solomon, in his story, when he gave sacrifice to God, he came as fire. And same with Elijah. When he brought his sacrifice, and God, that was a way for God to prove that he was there. This is his presence, and no one can doubt it. Next, fire came to as a strength against enemy. And we see that Israel was punished because they spoke against God, and they were punished. And the fire came to as a punishment to them. And God is called a fire. Deuteronomy 4:24.
Он говорит, из нового перевода звучит так: ибо Господь Бог твой.
God is, Lord is your God, and he is your fire, and he is a jealous God. And here again, he's demonstrated as fire. He's saying that I love you so much, and I'm so jealous of you to everything else, that I will not allow something to steal you away from my heart. And that is why you're surprised so many times, why you fall into these situations, or why my heart falls into so many pieces. Why is it that I wanted something so much and worked so hard? Why is it taken away from me? Because he's a jealous God. He loves you so much that he's not going to allow something to steal you away from him. And I started studying these things in baptism and in fire, and understanding what the word baptism means. It's from a Greek word, bapto, in English. It turned English word is baptism, in Russian, same thing, meaning being submerged in some kind of liquid. And I understood when you are submerged in fire, you are submerged in God himself, meaning that what is it baptized to be in him? You are submerged into his heart. He is fire that is devouring. He trembles over you because he doesn't want to lose you, because he values you so much. And when you're being baptized in fire, you're being baptized in him. And God started showing me some things, and we will encounter some people here who encountered God and never left the same. First person was Moses. Moses was is very close to my heart. His story is. We will go to Exodus.
Мы прочитаем немножко его историю. Мы не будем
всю читать, но самые такие ключевые моменты. But just the key moments. I want to look at, and I'm sure that some of you will see yourselves in his story and in his encounter with fire, where he never was the same ever again.
Мы начнем с вторая глава с 11 стиха. Итак, шло время, Моисей вырос. Он пришел к своим братьям евреям и увидел их тяжкий труд.
Moses grew and became a man. One day he visited his people and saw that they were forced to work hard. He saw Egyptians beating a Hebrew man. One of Moses' own people, Moses looked all around and saw that no one was watching, so he killed an Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. The next day Moses returned and saw two Hebrews men fighting each other. He said to the one that was in the wrong, "Why are you hitting one of your own people?" The man answered, "Who made you our ruler and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Moses was afraid and thought, "Now everyone knows what I did." When the king heard what Moses had done, he tried to kill him. The Moses ran away from the king and went into the land of Midian. Look, Moses was born to free. You seem that he did the right thing. He stood for something just justice. Why did everything corrupt so fast? He had the good motive. He wanted to help. He had the right motive, but everything turned out so wrong. And sometimes I compare it to my life. I had some moments where I had good motives, and then when I did something, I did something for God, it helped somebody, or I went to help, but everything resulted in corruption. I couldn't understand why. I was very upset with God, and I said, "God, I do this for you. Why is it all failing, resulting in such failure and corruption?" And I see this with Moses. Look, when he was doing this, he did it with his own hands. Yeah, he did what he was supposed to do in the future, but he did it before the time was right. It was not God who told him to said go do this, but he did it himself. He jumped into it before it was time and tried doing it with his own hands. He was trying to serve God before God told him to go and do it. And here, Moses, embarrassed, disappointed, with a head bowed low, he was supposed to run just so he doesn't get killed and punished. And he hides in the desert. He goes where nobody knows him, nobody knows of his past, and starts from the very beginning. He completely runs away from his calling. He doesn't want to hear anything about freeing his people. And here, where he changes his whole direction of life, and later on, we were going to skip verse 23. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The people of Israel groaned because they were forced to work very hard. When they cried for help, God heard them. God heard their cry, and he remembered the agreement he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He saw the troubles of the people of Israel, and he was concerned about them. And third verse, one day Moses was taking care of Jethro's flock. When Moses led the flock to the west side of the desert, he came to the mountain of God. And he, look, this problem doesn't disappear. It still waits for him. But he's so tired of everything. He crossed everything out and said that, "I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm just going to take care of the flock and live like the rest of the people." And as soon as he just goes to do his thing with these sheep, and God saw, remember he saw the burning bush where Moses saw that the bush was on fire. But it was not burning. So he said, I will go closer to this strange thing. How can the bush continue burning without burning up? Interesting, how can God do that? Here is what God does. He takes this Moses, where he probably had some insecurities, and he had the lowest self-esteem. And here is where God says, hey, I want to have something to do with you. Why? Because everything inside of you died. You don't want anything else. You don't want any more ministry. You don't want any more ego. Or you don't want to start meddling and doing things with your own hands before it's time. Right now you're ready. And now I want to work with you. I want to work with your heart. And he encounters God, specifically in this situation with fire, and is here is where we look closer. And this is where he receives the revelation of who is God. It's one thing when someone else tells you or when you read in the book, but it's totally different when God meets you face to face and starts telling you who he is and starts opening his heart. Second, Moses realizes who he is. From God, he realizes his destiny and calling. Yeah, before that, he had an idea. It was vague. He guessed. But now he knows for sure. You are this, this, and this. You're going to do this, this, and this. He gives him a specific direction of his life, for his life. He's telling him where he's going to go, what he's going to do, what he's supposed to say. And when Moses leaves this encounter, he's completely different. He's not the same Moses that was insecure, lost, full of insecurities and low confidence. Yeah, somewhere behind, maybe they're faintly somewhere in the background. But even now, with those things, he goes forward and does something for the Egyptians that they could never imagine. All of the witchcraft or all of the curses that were had couldn't even reach him. There's a difference when you start walking and you're doing things with your own hands, you testify and you pray, but nobody's getting healed. When you tell somebody about God, but from one ear they hear, from the other one it flies out. When you do something but nothing works and you just give up, you say, I'm not called for this, this is not what I'm here for, I'm better to just kind of sit this out and just relax. And people just go into the world and do their own thing. But specifically in this time, in this moment, when you don't want to do anything else, God starts pulling you in and says, I want to give you the strength. And you start walking into that. Where your biggest miss is, where you felt the most corruption, specifically that place will be your strength and your success. That's where God is going to do miracles in your life. That's exactly what happened with Moses when he encountered fire. Do you understand what baptism and fire does? It's not just when somebody prays for you and you kind of shake a little bit and says, whoop, whoop, I'm baptized in fire. It's so cool. It's so much bigger than that. The fire is known when you walk and the presence of God is seen by everybody around you, just like on top of the fire. On top of the mountain. Nobody doubted that that was God. You didn't have to explain to people. People just saw. And the fear of God came upon the people because they knew it was him. Same with your life. It will be very visual. People that are not Christian, people that don't even know you, they will see that fire in God that will enter into you. And you don't have to yell and shout to everybody, I'm on fire, I'm with fire, I walk with God. And when you speak, your words will speak fire that will pierce through people. And you will walk and miracles will follow you. And you will not even intentionally be doing that. I want that. I'm not there yet. I said, God, I will not settle down until I receive this. I want to have this encounter that Moses had, where my biggest failures were in my life. I want those areas in my life to be the most successful. And I will not settle until I receive that. And you know, specifically, God wants to take the church there. He's preparing the church of the last time, where they have this unreal strength and authority. Church, what does church do? They just step back and say, no, it's not for me. No, it's too hard. It's too much sacrifice for this, and it's not a pleasant process. And I will just make it seem like everything's okay, and I will worship God, and I will live my own life. And I will not do anything else. But I know that God right now is preparing that church and that generation that's going to be on fire for God. You know, right now, you can just say something to a person and say, oh, God loves you, Jesus loves you. You can give them all free Bibles and say, Jesus is good. We have 30 people came to God today. That doesn't work anymore. That does not work anymore. Right now, time has come where God is raising up his church. And in order to be in that position, to be that person, you have to encounter God face to face through fire. You will have to even go through some corruption, some hardship, or maybe embarrassment, or some disappointment. Without that, you cannot meet him face to face. If you're going through something hard right now and you don't understand what is happening in your life, and you try to ask God, but he's not answering, and you don't understand and say, what is wrong with me? Maybe I'm losing my mind. What's going on? And I say, be happy. Be joyful because you're in the process where you're going to meet him face to face. Just don't turn around. Just don't let him go. And after this encounter, you will never be the same again. Next encounter that he showed me was a group of people that met God in fire, and they did not stay the same. We're going to read in Daniel. Daniel 3, verse 14. I know that you remember it. The story, I'm not going to read all of it, but just a few fragments. And so, Nebuchadnezzar said, do you remember basically, yeah, that he built a huge idol and made everybody worship him? And of course, in this group, we had Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they did not bow down to the idol. And so he asked, is it true, it is that you do not serve my gods nor worship the gold statue I have set up? In the moment you will again hear the sound of horns, flutes, and harps, pipes, and all of the musical instruments. If you do not bow down and worship the statue I have made, that will be good. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. What God will be able to save you from my power then? Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered to the king, we do not need to defend ourselves to you. If you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to save us from the furnace. He will save us from your power, O king. But even if God does not save us, we want you, O king, to know we will not serve your gods or worship your gold statue you have set up. The king was furious with them and said he changed his mind. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and then they were placed straight into the blazing furnace. And so, why did I read this part? We will continue reading, but I want to stop here and say, exactly when you, who plays this fire? Who prayed this prayer? God, baptize me in your fire. So I did this too. I didn't even know what I was asking for. I thought it was something supernatural that will fall from the heaven on me. I will fall on the floor, and I will not stand up. I will be a totally different person. But that's not what happened. The more I asked for fire from God, the more weird and strange things started happening in my life. I asked for love for people, and I received hurt from these people into my heart. I asked for patience, and I received in the answer some kind of injustice, and people spoke basically against me or minimized me. I asked God to enter into my ministry, and the more I asked him for it, the further I stepped away from it. It's like he closed something in front of me, And I was sitting in some hole. I couldn't understand what it was. And I said, God, but I asked you for fire. I asked for you to baptize me in fire. What is happening with me? The more I ask, the worst situations of my life are happening. And you know, God explained to me and showed me, said that you don't understand. Right now you're standing in front of the furnace and you asked me and I want to take you into it. You can't be my bride without going through that furnace. You can't walk in my glory. You can't walk in my strength like my people walked, like Moses and Daniel. If you don't go through this furnace, through this fire, many people want strength and fire and anointment in ministry and blessing, but very few want to go through the fire because it hurts so much, because it's unpleasant, because it's lonely, because there is where everything burns, where you dreamed of your plans of life. You know, I just stopped making plans. As soon as I put a dream or a plan, it does not happen. Everything goes upside down. So I just stopped. Exactly in that furnace, that is where everything starts to burn, what you created. That is where it burns up. And you're surprised, why, God? You don't love me. Why is so much injustice in my life? But he says, no, specifically because I love you, it happens. Because I have prepared something so special for you in my body, where I want to give you this level of strength that not every person can handle, but you have to go through that furnace, where in your heart, those wrong motives will burn up, where love for everything else will burn, but only the love for me will remain. I want to make you gold that will go through the fire where all the trash will burn up and only the preciousness will remain. And as people, we think, oh, if God loves me, that means he will bless me. If God loves me, that means I will have success, flourishment, finances. It means everyone's going to love me all around me, and everyone's going to tell me how great I am, what awesome minister I am. But everything turns out completely opposite. The more God loves you, the more things he will allow to happen to you. Because we see such a small piece of the painting. We live just by today. We don't see what's going to happen in a year or what's going to happen at the end of our life. And that is why he says, I want to take my church, I want to take it through that fire, through the furnace, because then I will know and I will see that other than me, it will not have anything else, that she will love only me, she will see only me, she will follow only me, she will dream only of me, because everything else will burn away. And I said, God, please take me through it. Yes, it will hurt. Yes, I don't want to. Yeah, some days without strength, you just cry into your pillow because nobody can help you or give you an answer, and you remain by yourself with God. But at the same time, I started looking at what is happening with my heart. I saw how slowly these motives, these dirty motives, started burning up, and I started noticing that I'm becoming a different person. At first, it's unnoticeable, but when it's a certain situation comes into my life and you're like, wow, I'm not reacting the same way typically I thought I would, and I'm thinking differently, and people looking at you and are surprised, how is it that you're in the situation and you can move forward and you can stand? But for you, it doesn't seem to be so shocking. It's normal for you to react this way. And again, God kept putting my attention onto, this is where my church is born. My church is not born at awesome big epic conferences or some prayers of, yeah, I really do love the heart of God where he comes and wipes you off of your feet and you're just rolling around in his glory and praising his name. That's awesome. But that's not where it's born. Champions are not born there. People that are walking in his glory are not born there. Those people and those hearts are born from moments of pain and hurt. Why through so many churches and Christians we don't see any strength, we don't see any glory, we don't see any fire? You walk on the street and in front of you someone can kill somebody right in front of you, or cuss someone out, or do something dirty in front of you as if you're not even around. But you are a son of God, right? I understand, if I'm a daughter of God, then where am I entering? All of the dirt and darkness is supposed to leave because I carry the presence of God, and it's so much stronger than everything that's around. When I enter, a part of glory and heaven walks with me because I'm connected to Him. And when these things are still around me, it means that I'm missing something, that I'm not doing something right. Why is it that we can sit and nothing's happening? And again, God started telling me that I want to take my children through this furnace. I want to purify them. Yes, it will hurt, but exactly there is where you're going to meet Him face to face. Just like these guys, they didn't know if God's going to save them or if He's going to let them die. They couldn't tell ahead of time what Jesus will do. They just walked in faith, blindly, kind of, not knowing. And in church, the same thing. People who just decided to trust God and say, God, I'm going forward and I want to receive baptism in fire, and I know I will receive that from you regardless of what. Some of you already going through these moments, like you feel like you're kind of in the furnace where something's burning in you or burning away, and you're thinking like, I'm almost there, I'm in the process, where some things I still don't know when they're going to end, but I'm ready. I signed up for it. I said, God, I signed that contract, whatever it's going to take, whatever condition. I just want to be with you, regardless of what that's going to cost me. Even though at the end of my life, I will still live in the same place, under certain circumstances, my love for you doesn't change. My heart for you doesn't change. You know, before I got married, I said, God, even if you don't give me a husband, if I'm going to live alone, I'm ready. I have nowhere else to go. I can't go back. If I'm not going to have my own house, if I'm not going to have my own kids, everyone has their own thing. If I'm not going to have money, a lot, I still agree to follow you. I love you till the end, and I accept you and just the way you are with all of your conditions. I am ready to go into the furnace. I'm ready that some aspects of my life are going to hurt more for me to reach you. I choose this thin path to walk on. You know, this like hard life, I chose this personally for myself. And I know that right now, God, in this time, He's forming more and more people like this. I know some people doing the same thing. In their own prayer closets, they're calling out to God to see His glory. And when we look at apostles, when He said, don't go anywhere until you receive the Holy Spirit, do you remember before they did, they were just simple apostles. They couldn't even cast away demons without the help of God or help of Jesus. Do you remember their conversations? They were fearful, they were confused. But what happened to these people when they received the baptism of fire, when Holy Spirit came upon them in the form of fire, and all other everything else left them, and they turned into different people. People who walked till the end, who walked towards death, who weren't unstoppable. And I said, God, I'm so embarrassed for our Christianity right now. And I prayed, please forgive us for what we're doing. Yeah, if we're starving or we don't have something to eat or if some other hardship is going on, then we cry out to God. If people start looking at you funny because you can't do the same things that they are, and we become less than them, we see ourselves. So that's when we start calling out to God, like, help me, I'm struggling. And I say, God, I'm so embarrassed. How far away we left you? We're completely dying out. What kind of glory can we speak of? What kind of fire can we dream of? Where are these people that regardless of whatever, they will keep following you? And God is still working on my heart in this process, but right now I know that in this fire, specifically in this furnace, God is opening himself up to me in no other way. When all things were good in my life before, he still talked to me and he still opened himself up to me, but not to the great depth that I'm experiencing him now and feeling him as close as I do right now. Specifically in this furnace, in this pain, I see his face and I speak to him face to face like I've never done before. And I am not the same Svetlana that I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I'm a completely different person. Yeah, I can look like I am, but I'm really not. Like physically, I still look the same. I know that God will raise up more and more people. More and more people are going to rise that are not going to compromise it. God is going to burn in them. Burn everything in me. And so they were, verse 24, and so the king was so surprised that he jumped to his feet. He asked the men who advised him, didn't we tie up only three men and throw them into the fire? They answered, yes, okay, yes, king. The king said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire. And then said that when people that threw them into the fire, they fell and they burned up and they died. And you know, God talked to me. He said, it's kind of like an example. He said that when you choose me and you choose to walk into the fire, and you will have situations into your life that come in, and either they're going to break you, and emotionally and spiritually, you're going to die, or it will make you supernatural individual. The same situation, two different reactions. These, before they entered into the fire, they already died. But these, they can live. They went through the fire and they were stronger. Right now we live in a time that, yeah, we have things that happen to us and encounters with God. But how often do we experience one-on-one? And right now this time is coming and everyone will see it. God is going to bring this out into the open. There's so many encounters where the presence of God was always seen and the fear of God came upon people. And I just felt so sad and tears that church is laughter now. Like, people laugh at our church and at Christianity. They're the most strange people. You can just kind of pick on them and make fun of them, and people don't have the fear of God when they speak about Christians in that way. You know, these and Christians allow themselves to live double lives too, and they don't respect themselves. And there's so much pain and hurt in my heart towards this, and I can't even pray about anything else but other than this. And I say, God, we need the baptism of fire. We need to come back to this. We need to go back to where we started. That is why I don't want to extend this longer. I want to take a couple of minutes and pray about this. Can we have somebody, musicians, come up front, please? And I just want to yell to God and say, God, we need to be transformed. If you're standing in front of this option, and right now you have the option, either live your calm life. And once I said to God, why can't I live like normal people? Why is something always going to happen to me? If not one thing, it's something else. Why can't I live like anyone else, normal? And God said to me, look at them. What do you call a normal life anyway? You say normal life, but define it. What is that? What does that look like? And I started looking and observing these lives of these people. And I started noticing that their life is looks like just career. They're chasing a career to make more money, to buy something cooler than your neighbor has, to not look like a disappointment in other people's lives. And your life is just revolving around these things. And it's like some kind of a dream that's constantly moving away from you. There's always somebody cooler than you and richer than you. And I thought about it. I'm like, that's right. But God, you're not there. These people are just living for this world. And he said, exactly, if you want to have a normal life, then exactly the same amount of me you will have in your life. I will much rather remain with my problems, with my hurts, but I will have you. And I will have your glory in my life, and I don't want anything else. That's why if you're standing in front of this option, even you're either wanting a normal life, quote-unquote, or the other one where, you're going to have hardship and you're going to have hard decisions in front of you all the time, but you're going to be walking so close to God. And in result, you will see His glory on you, which will be seen by other people, not only you. Oh yeah, I visit, God visits me at night in dreams or something, but there will come a time to where other people will see that as well, and the fear of God will come upon them. And yeah, we see how God in churches and in conferences when He shows His glory. But when was the last time we saw Him when He just shows His glory on just the streets? What happens inside the church happens outside, on the streets, in front of non-believers. I don't remember last time that happened, when grandpas or mom and dad, told us about miracles in their youth, but I haven't seen it. And I said, God, I don't want to leave this earth until I see this movement of God on the streets, in our cities. Whatever it's going to cost me, I'm going into this furnace. God, burn everything away from me, let everything burn, but I will be there, I will remain there, I will see it, and I will be a part of it. And that is why, if you want it, I want to invite you to come up front, and I just want to pray. You can just stand up. If you feel that you're one of those people that God wants to ignite you, and we want to ask God to transform our generation, to transform our church, our Christianity, our pathetic and kind of weak, gloryless Christianity, Jesus. Jesus, we come to you. Father, we are so tired of seeing whatever we see around us. We want to see more. We understand that the church is not where it's supposed to be. There is something so much more for us. We ask for you the baptism on fire. We ask for you to baptize us in fire. We want to be that gold that will walk through that furnace. We want to be these guys that go through that fire and coming out completely different people. We ask you, Lord, we ask you, please touch our generation. Touch our Christianity, Lord. Bring us back. Bring back the fear of God. The fear of God that should be in our hearts. Baptize us. Baptize us, Lord. Baptize us in fire, Jesus. Baptize us in fire. Our hearts want to be baptized in your fire. Please ignite your fire in our bones that will never be dimmed, that will never be light. This fire that will not let us live our own lives. Father, raise up our generation that will walk through this furnace, that will walk to the end,
And exactly there is where your bride is born. That is where your church is born. From fire. From this fire. Baptize us. Baptize us, Jesus. Baptize us, Jesus. The baptism of fire. The baptism of fire. The baptism of fire. That is agreed to all of your conditions.
Новое поколение.
The new generation.
Новое поколение. Крещение огнем. Крещение огнем. Деяние Господь. Высвободи деяние в наше поколение. Высвободи, Господь, ту славу, которую видел Моисей, Господь, и больше.
Let us see the glory that Moses did, and more.
И больше, Господь. Burning.
You are the fire.
We
completely submerge ourselves in you. Completely. Submerge ourselves in you. I submerge myself in you, Lord. Please speak through me. I want to see your face. Please submerge me in your fire. Up right now. Church that is baptized in fire. That is baptized in you. That is baptized in your heart right now. It's getting born. It's becoming born from the fire. It's becoming born. And you can't see it yet. You can't hear it yet. As pure fire, and you will see it. You will see it on the street. You will see it on the street. And no darkness will be in the same place. Church that carries that. Individuals who walk in fire. Individuals who walk in fire, who walk with fire. Where are those? Where are those individuals who are completely sold to Him, who give themselves to Him until the very end, Lord? Until the very end, Jesus. We are giving ourselves to you without any condition, without any condition. Without any condition. We are yours till the end. We are yours until the end. We are yours until the end. We are yours until the end. We are yours, Lord, till the end. Until the end, Lord. Until the end, Lord. Until the very end, Jesus. The time has come where the fire will come from just laying your hands on people. The hungry hearts will receive of what they ask for from Him. You don't need people to lay their hands on you. You don't need people. Become hungry for Him. He will baptize you. He will take you into that furnace. He will baptize you Himself. He will baptize you Himself. He will baptize you Himself without any person's help, without any human help. He will baptize you Himself. He will baptize you Himself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Спасибо.